All right, let's go. Well, Tim, I guess in the Sun, and I hate to go against the Sun, front page, blow it up.
Yep, Steve Simmons says, blow it up, Cindy. Blow up the Leafs.
I like it.
You know, I wouldn't.
No?
No, I wouldn't. I tell you why I wouldn't. Just go over the goaltenders. In 2018, they lost to Tuukka Rask, and Rask was fantastic.
Yeah.
And again, in 2019, they lost to Rask again.
Right.
And he was at his best. And in 2020, they lost to the Blue Jackets and Korpisalo. That was it.
It was like Terry Sawchuk came down and he played great. And then he came back to earth after that.
Yeah. And then they lost to 2021. They lost to Carey Price. Remember Carey Price? That was it.
That was his last hurrah.
That was the last hurrah. And then in 2022, they lost to Tampa and Vasilevskiy. Nobody could get a puck past Vasilevskiy.
No.
They won
the cup. Yep.
And then Bobrovsky or whatever his name is.
Bobrovsky, yep.
You know, it just he run into hot.
Well, you sound like a true Maple Leaf fan, Dad.
I am. And Matthews had 25 shots.
So that means, but he didn't score.
Well, yeah, still he had 25 shots. He had 5 per game.
So you're saying he's not lucky, I think he just wants to get the puck on the net. He's half the time it's in the breadbasket of the goalie. I don't know.
And Marner, boy, it was tough seeing Marner get punched in the face.
Wasn't that pathetic?
So let's talk about that, Dad. That Knives, he got thrown down on his head and things.
And cross-checked.
And cross-checked and stuff.
Poor little fella.
You had always said they should have had Simmons on the bench.
That wouldn't have happened. I guarantee you that wouldn't have happened if Simmons had been on the third or fourth line.
But, Dad, does it really make a difference with a guy sitting on the bench, even though he might not get on the ice?
Okay, I'm going to tell you a story. This is a true story. It's hard to believe, but this is what I went through in the minors. Okay, we went to Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville, we had played. It was a long ways to go by bus. So
did you guys drove from Rochester to Jacksonville, Florida?
Yeah.
It was nothing.
In the middle of winter. Holy smokes!
So
you guys would play because it was so long. You'd played what two or three games?
Two games. Yeah, yep. I played 2 games. It was long.
And you drove the whole way. You didn't stop.
Oh, no, we stopped for gas.
No, I mean stop overnight. Like, oh, it was no, the whole trip. Holy smokes.
So John Wensink, who was our tough guy, and he was tough, believe me. He looked tough, too.
No, he looked like he had the big afro. Like
John had a Fu Manchu, and he
looked tougher than Oglethorpe.
He did. He
oh,
did.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
they should have taken John.
I know. He would have been a better guy.
Yeah,
tough
he would have been
guy.
Better. Slap anyhow, shot. We're getting off here. Yeah. No. So anyhow, John hurt his knee. You know what he did? He stepped on a stick in a fight with Bert Wilson. I keep going back. And so he was home, and he didn't make the trip. So I thought, I'll write his name in there anyhow. He wasn't going to play.
He was in the lineup. You wrote his name down.
Yeah. So John Denhammer, who was my assistant general manager, said, "You know, John, you can go home. You could go home for Christmas. It must have been at Christmas time." So John went home to Christmas, and so the first game we won, but I knew the second game was going to be tough. I just wrote his name in because we didn't have enough players, and I thought it would look good. And
yeah, then, come on, Dad. You knew that they would see the lineup.
Well,
that
they
John
saw the lineup, but he wasn't there.
I know, but still, just to see his name, you know he's around.
I used to play short. So the first game,
they kind of run around a little.
We won, but we were getting pushed around. So I thought, well, I'll just put Mudsink's name in there. And in the meantime, John Denhammer had let Wensink go home to Maxville, Ontario. That's where he's from, Maxville, Ontario. So, and I phoned John and I said, John Wensink would really like, be nice to come down to Florida. So anyhow, he had to get John back from Maxwell, Ontario, and then he had to fly him down. He flew him down. So I'm doing the first period, and there you are running around. And I look, and there's John standing in the corner. Well, I'd already written his name in. I said, get dressed, John. He says, well, I can't skate. I said, I don't care if you can skate or not. Just get dressed and as if you're going to go on the ice. So he was on the bench, and I said, now stand up. And a guy goes, hey, and he used to, I'm coming. And they settled down. They didn't do anything. They thought John was coming on the ice. So, yes, Simmons should every game. I guarantee you that wouldn't have happened to that college kid. And it means a lot if you have him on the bench. You know, when Keith used to play, he was sort of a nut.
Yeah, Keith was, when he played like in junior, he was a rat. Like he was not, like him and the other guy, Danton or whatever, Jefferson at the time, they were bad guys. I mean, they crushed, I remember one of them, it was either Keith or Jefferson, I don't remember. Remember he cross-checked Matt Coughlin right in the mouth for no reason, knocked all his teeth out.
Knocked all his teeth out.
So he was.
They were rats.
So I always thought.
And why he wouldn't have Simmons dressed is beyond me.
And my thing, Cindy, is I think Dubas meddles in with his coaching.
Well, I could easily see that from above, you know. But
how could you easily see it?
Well, he's you know, he's so you know, a student of the game and everything, the way he analyzes it and everything. He looks like a little college professor up there.
He does.
And everything. But so are you sure it's Dubas and not Shanahan?
I don't ever see Shanahan. Well, with Shanahan, he would probably say, dress Simmons.
Listen.
My thing is, the two reasons I say that is that I remember in Arizona, the Leafs stunk to join out. Keith really gave it to Matthews and Marner. And then the next day, he had to kind of walk it back. And it was embarrassing. He was, well, you know, what I meant to say is.
Yeah.
So I think he got help from Dubas, and I'm just guessing here, and made him go back and apologize. It was embarrassing, apologize. Yeah. And then remember when they were playing Montreal towards the end of the season, they had to have that emergency goalie come in. And he they're beating Montreal 7-1. And then with about 5 minutes to go, he puts the kid in. And I thought, geez, that's kind of embarrassing Montreal. And that was
and
the
Chicago,
first,
we did the same thing.
The first question he got asked was, you know, geez, 7-1, and you put the rookie goal, you know, put that goalie in, and he pointed up, he says, that came from upstairs.
Yeah.
Because he knew it was wrong. And then one of the Montreal players was furious.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the Montreal players in the paper said, well, they'll get their comeuppance in the playoffs.
Yeah, you get what they deserve.
Yeah.
In fact, I remember him saying that in the paper. He says they'll get the deserve in a couple of weeks. this guy knew what was coming.
I do believe that. How many times do you see pictures of him watching the practice and all that? And I just don't think putting a college kid in, Knives, he played okay, but putting a college kid in who's, you know, played 30 games a year in the middle of a playoffs, learning how to play in the National Hockey League during the playoffs, instead of having that, you know, nuclear option of, if somebody's going to run around and punch Marner in the face, then Simmons is going to
punch him twice in the face.
He's going to go straighten that out.
And Tkachuk knew what he was doing. He just waited till he got Marner, and boom, boom.
So with you saying that, do you think Dubas will be back then? What does that mean? That he's
Does he want to come back?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I guess.
Yeah, that's true too. Does he want to come back? Anyhow, they run into every year. They run into a hot goaltender, whether it's. Well, they do run into the hot goaltenders at their peak.
I know, it's unbelievable. And their goalies are always kind of, they play okay.
Wall was okay. Well, yeah. You can't blame Wall.
And Bobrovsky, he stole at least two games. He stole that last game.
Yeah.
And he stole, I think, the second game in Toronto.
They always run into a hot goalie.
Okay, Dad, so the big question is, what do you do with Austin Matthews? So he's got 1 year left on his contract.
Yeah, he's at July 1st.
And you can trade him from now to July 1st. And yeah, after July 1st, you can't trade him without his permission.
But who wants him? Because you never know. After July 1st, he'll say, well, I think I'll stay in Phoenix.
Yeah. You're not going to get it. You're going to, unless you trade him for Phoenix, and who are you going to get?
But they should just wait.
Yeah, but I mean, then the people would say he's going to pull a Sundin where, you know, Sundin says he wanted to retire as a Leaf, and they could have got a first-round pick from Detroit, I think it was, and then he said, no, I want to stay Toronto, and then they don't get the pick.
And in Vancouver.
And then he goes, then he leaves. So
they could have had a first-round pick.
So, but if you know he's not going to sign, do you just say, well, we're just going to eat it and let him go, or do you...
I would keep the team together as much as I could, and try to build a family. You have to have a family.
Yeah, because you know you mentioned that, Dad. That since February 15th with the Leafs, so there was like 28 games left. The roster turned over 8 guys, so they traded for 7 and brought that rookie, brought Nimes up. So that's 8 guys.
Florida and I hate and I love to say this. They have
10 guys from Ontario.
10 guys from Ontario.
13 Canadians.
13 Canadian.
So, but the big question for the Leafs fans, Cindy, we'll get your opinion too, and Dad, was that a goal? Was Riley's a goal?
I say, the last thing they showed, I say yes, it was a goal.
Really? Oh, I didn't think so. I didn't.
No, I didn't.
Well, the last picture they showed on TV, it showed it was over the line.
Yeah.
There's no sense in crying.
The refs were pretty good. They were like they even the penalties out.
He gave those chintzy penalties to the both teams.
That's right. He was equally bad to both guys.
So they were both teams. They were both coaches were upset.
You know the one thing why I don't think it was in was because Keith didn't go bananas.
Yeah, I don't know about that. All I know is I thought it was in.
Cindy and Dad, we'd like to thank our sponsor, Spreads.ca. They're a Canadian-owned online casino and sportsbook. And if you sign up now and use the promo Grapes, they'll match your deposit up to $500. You get 10 spins on the big wheel for some big dough. And your first sports bet, they'll spot you $25. And Cindy, you wanted to bet the Leafs were going to get swept.
Oh, was I
and
ever.
And you would have got, it was big odds.
I never hoped that the Leafs would win so much as that third game. Yeah, because
I didn't top up my deposit.
I said, Tim, I said, go down and put $50. They're going to get swept. Well, I only got, $10 on your whatever.
I've run into some bad luck there, so things are down.
So now they're down 3, and I'm going, if they sweep, and I'm going to lose all that money, I'm going to be so upset. Yeah.
But you have a pet peeve now, Cindy.
Oh, I have so many pet peeves.
Well,
anyway,
give us one of the pet peeves.
You know, is it my imagination, or are these guys on the bench watching or reading their iPads or watching their iPads?
You know what gets me is, I hate to say this, but when I see the coaches bending over all the time,
it's only as soon as a whistle blows.
They look down. Like,
well, they're looking at the bench.
How did you ever survive on the bench did you not know when a goal was scored what the problem was?
Well, I knew it right away. Well, I thought I knew it.
Yeah.
But it's funny how that's all changed, where immediately when the whistle blows, you have the 3 coaches or 4 coaches start looking at the iPad.
Bumping each other.
You have a guy up top talking in their ear. And then the referees come over and start chatting with both coaches. Yeah. And when you coached, you were the only guy on the bench, and the referees would hardly ever talk to you.
Scotty was all by himself.
Yeah, Al Arbor.
Al Arbor.
How did you ever do it?
I don't know how I did it.
Running into each other, bumping and fighting over the iPad on the bench.
I couldn't have anybody. I remember the very first time I had a guy helping me, and I just threw me off, I forgot his name now.
Where was this?
The little guy over in...
It was over in the World Tournament.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Over in the World Tournament, and he played, and I wanted my defense to be with against certain guys.
The first time I ever saw you with anyone on the bench was during the prospect game with Brian Kilray.
Brian ran the club.
Well, and you just sort of go, geez, look at that. He doesn't move. He doesn't say anything. And Brian just took right over.
Well, Brian did the coaching.
I know.
Well, remember that, getting off on a tangent, but Remember, I think it was Daniel Briere not dropping names. It was the first game, and he kept staying out too long.
Oh, he kept staying. Oh, and I can't tell you what
the yelling.
Brian and screaming.
He says, bench him. Bench him.
How do you bench the guy like that?
in an exhibition.
You're sticking up for him, Brian.
I was sticking up for the guy that was staying on too long. Brian was just going bananas.
That's it. You selfish so-and-so. Everybody's going out.
Do you talk to the rest of your junior players like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd have to be very careful. This was a long time ago.
Yeah. So, Dad, let's talk about the big game tonight. This is Sunday morning. Edmonton's playing Vegas. They got
to win. That is a rough series. That is a rough series.
Yeah. So what did you think of, first of all, Nurse gets instigating and they suspend him for a game? I think that was kind of a chintzy call.
Well, if they're going to do it to, I call him Peter Angelo. Yeah. What do they call him? Pierre Angelo. Yeah. Anyhow, he just went up and I never believed in that going after the star.
Yeah, but he just, if you didn't see it, he just walked up and took a stick and just cracked Dreisaitl right over the arm. But, you know, he was...
Well, he didn't mean you hurt him. You're going to hit him in the head.
Yeah, or the wrist. But he, when they asked him, he just said, he goes, you know, if you remember, Kane cross-checked him right in the neck at the end of the game.
Well, why did he go after Kane?
Kane's a little bit tougher. I don't know.
And
so Dreisaitl's got how many goals he's got. So they went over and he whacked him right
over. Never believed in that there. You know, there was the big thing, you go after our stars, we'll go after their stars. I never believed that. I would go after the guy that went after the guy, their stars.
Yeah. So tonight, you know, the question is, you know, Skinner will probably be in the nets for the Oilers. But if you look at Campbell, he's like 5-1 against the Vegas.
He always goes in.
And he has like a goals against average of like less than 2.
Yeah, well,
but kind of tough to put him in tonight.
Well, it'd be tough to put him in tonight. But when he goes in, he always plays well.
Yeah. Well, it'll be interesting tonight to see if Edmonton. I hope they win. I like to see a Canadian team get in there. So,
yeah, we want Canadian.
So, and then last night I watched Dallas and Seattle. So you played in Seattle, right?
I played in Seattle, and they know hockey. They had Seattle Totems.
And who were you playing for? Spokane?
Spokane, yeah. And Seattle, I mean.
Boy, they were going nuts last night, the fans. Like, they were really,
well,
really.
They know hockey. There's nobody in Seattle doesn't know hockey. Seattle Totems, they always had good crowds and the whole deal. They know hockey.
Yeah, but that was a crazy game. So that there's game 7 going on there.
And Gordy Gallant.
Yeah, Gerard Gallant. He got, he was fired. It was a mutual parting of the ways.
I like that parting of the ways. They always say me. They always say they always fire me. But I think it was a parting of the ways. I really do, because I don't think he got along with the general manager.
Yeah, they said that him and Chris Gallant and Drury got into a big argument. Maybe he said, I don't want Kane or something like that. And he got to argue. But the rumor going around is Mark Messier might be coach.
No, he'd be a good coach.
Do you think he can step? You think a guy like, okay, he's, you know, he can't get much better than Mark Messier, but he's never coached before. Do you think he could step in?
Well, he could because of his past credentials. I think he was going to go. I thought he was going to be made a coach about 5 years ago, but he's on TV now and he sounds pretty good.
Yeah. Well, you're not going to fool him, right?
You're not going to fool him. He's been there a long time, and I think he'd be a good coach. He really would. Well, I got fooled on a couple of guys that I thought were going to be good coaches. Yeah, I thought the guy that would be the best coach of all, and he never ever coached, was he played for Toronto Maple Leafs a long time ago, Jerry Eamon. And I thought he would be a great coach, but he was smart. He became a scout.
Yeah, scouts last longer.
They last a lot longer. Well, Tim, we had another sad thing happen. The OPP star, Eric Mueller, he's 42 years old. It's hard to believe. Shot and killed and leaves behind a wife and 2 children.
It's hard to believe, you know, like in Canada, like, you know, you don't kind of think of police officers getting shot, but that's in the last 8 months, 9 police officers were murdered.
Yeah, it's hard to believe. He was described by his colleague as a coach, a mentor, someone that everybody looked up to. He was the glue that held his shift together and the best leader that many people ever had the privilege of working with. For our brothers, our hearts are broken, said one of his colleagues.